very interested indeed in what you were saying before you put the light out.
Oh, good.
Oh, good.
Yes?
For a very long time, many souls on this side have been endeavoring to make a contact with your world without the aid of mediums. At least, perhaps I should clarify that statement by saying not with the obvious aid of mediums. I think communication, whatever form it takes, to some extent, will have to be, and obviously must well be, linked up with a human being or beings on your side. I don't think we should ever be able to make a distinct, audible contest without the aid and the sense of some mediumistic force or power. These recent recordings which have aroused so much interest, even there, though it may not be perhaps apparent, there is the psychic force that is generated and used to make a contact possible. Of course, I might clarify this even further and say it doesn't necessarily have to be human. By that I mean it does not necessarily have to be a man or woman who supplies the power to make communication possible. For many, many years this has been attempted in various ways, in various countries, through various means, make a contact which could be more scientific in its approach and possibly more restrictive to scientifically minded individuals. But we must always remember that speech, which is vibration, which is sound wave, this must have, to some extent, somewhere, a link with the human element, human being. But of course it is feasible, and I have no reason to doubt, that certain animals, or vegetable, or vegetation, where there is, and there must be, a form of life, vibrational, where there is this power which is manifest in all manner of ways, this vital force, this animating force, which is behind all life, which makes all forms of communication a reality, it is more than possible, and in some instances it is not necessary for an individual to be present, but the life force can be taken from nature, can be taken from vegetation. But where communication on a certain level of consciousness is brought into operation, I am quite certain that in most instances there should be some form of mediumship, not be the obvious, may not be necessarily human. I'm very interested in these experiments, and although I know that a great deal of truth is manifest in the result, the proof, and the effort, and the procedure is in many respects very different, and not to be confused with Needham's, and Needham's hypothesis generally known. This is a new effort, attitude, aspect altogether. And by its very nature, you have a lot of confusion. It's very unlikely that you'll have, certainly not yet a while, intelligent conversation. You may have scraps here and there, but the power to hold and to build sufficiently to make possible intelligent conversation between our world and yours, though there will be scraps here and there, there will be difficulties and obviously are manifold difficulties. Whether later on from out of this you come something very tangible, in as much as it will be understood and be possible to hold long, lengthy, intelligent personal conversation. This is a point which I feel this stage cannot be really answered or asserted with any validity. I think this is, we must consider this all very experimental on his early stages. I mean, there may well be, and I'm certain that there are forces at work, which by their very nature will to some extent make a complication. I do not wish to suggest anything that I am not more or less certain about, but I do feel that you should be advised that although there are souls on this side, scientifically minded individuals who are to some extent linked up with these experiments and concerned with them, nevertheless there are varying levels of sensitivity, varying degrees upon which one may endeavor to work, and I feel that this whole series of experiments that have been going on for quite a long period of time, and some result certainly has been achieved, but you will have to learn to differentiate between that which is coming from our realm of life, condition of life. You will have to learn, as you know, that you soon will begin to learn and be able to pick out the difference between what is obviously an intelligent and intelligible effort, we hope, on our part to communicate, to prove on a different level the realization of this great truth of survival. But at the same time, I think you should be advised and warned that there are nature spirits. There are levels of consciousness and levels upon which certain forms of life by experimentation could manifest themselves on your machine, your recordings, if you can, And you notice too, particularly, that the vibrational speed is quite different. And in consequence, some of the communications are barely intelligible and probably would have to be re-taped, I suppose you'd call it, or put back at a different semester speed. You see, this has always been our problem of communication, vibration. When we wish to communicate with you, we transmit our thoughts, vibration, your thoughts. They are received and picked up by the sensitized instrument that is built from the ectoplasm used by us, drawn from the medium. And we have to keep this rate of vibration as steady as we possibly can so that you have intelligible conversation. There have been times, no doubt, in the past when you may have noticed that the speed varies. Sometimes it's hastened and quickened, other times it's slowed down. But with this new form, if I can still call it new form, although in a sense it isn't, it's an attempt to record sound. The sound which is not normal sound, inasmuch that it is not of your world, and yet it is brought down to some extent on your vibration, obviously otherwise it couldn't be picked up or received or recorded. So you see, you must always bear in mind that the varying levels of consciousness, the various levels of mental communication and transmission, artificially reproducing something appertaining to ourselves and our life, all this must be brought to you artificially because we've been reconstructed, recreated, and in the process, the strange and extraordinary, and what from your point of view might be considered even weird results obtained. But you must never lose sight of the fact that there are many levels of consciousness, and that as man survives the so-called grave, through the other forces of life and conditions of existence. And in this instance, I think there are definitely elementals, especially when one considers that a lot of these recordings were taken, I understand, under natural surroundings in woodland areas, open fields, etc. This was where nature can also come into being and pass past. Now you will have and have had intelligible conversation of a kind, perhaps it has been very much split up, and you get an odd sense of an odd word here or there, and an attempt at different ideas successfully, I understand dangers. Instances transmitting that thought, but the artificial reproduction, that is why the whole reproduction must sound artificial. This is the difference, perhaps, to some extent, than the mediumship of a human being is not so much evident, or not so much to the fore. Further you draw away from the human element, that is, in this instance, mediums or mediumship, the less likely it will be that you will have what will strike one as a human intelligent and intelligible conversation in which you can really enter into a conversation at length. This is going to be fragmentary. I think it's going to be much more artificial, less sound. I think it's the speed of communication will be quite different. I think there will be many peculiarities, this is early days, and those who are linked up with this are going to be anxious to pursue it. But I do think you're going to have some sort of a model, but that isn't destined to reality, if it isn't destined to failure, which indeed I know all of this, and many of us here, and so understand and interested, but there is a special group for our manifesting and working in this direction. But all sorts of other entities are sometimes mentally that we are floating by and transmitting even unconsciously sometimes our thoughts which are coming through an intelligible sound of a kind, but very distorted. The distortion may disappear, it may become much more clear, it will vary according to the people of the present and the temple, and obviously if there is someone present who has strong mystic power, then the voices will improve and the communication will be vastly changed and different. But I do not think that myself, that although we are interested in all the scientific aspects, that we should ever achieve anything that is really, really worthwhile without the aid in some shape or form or some meaningless power. In a way, it's interesting to me, Mr. Gordon.
Yes. The basis is to start doing something that we heard some of you come to and talk about it. I actually heard the recording this morning.
I am very interested, terribly interested in this.
What are they?
They're nature sprites, nature spirits, sometimes rather mischievous. A lot of people poo-poo this idea of nature sprites or spirits. But it's not right to do this, because man must never consider that he is the only creature on God's earth of any consequence or importance. There are many forms of life which may not have reached the maturity or the development in some senses of nature, but all have their levels of consciousness and reality. Each level of consciousness regards life is important. You see, man must never try to divorce himself from the rest of nature, from the rest of life. For all life is sustained by the same power and the same spirit, it is the same generating force. Man is, in many respects, we know, a more highly developed creature, much more evolved mentally and, in a sense, by the new expression spiritually. Although this is an overworked word, not misunderstood in the world. Some people assume it is something to do with religion, but little or nothing to do with religion. Indeed, religion has cloaked so much and caused so much confusion over the centuries. In the ancient days, man was really aware and conscious of nature's rights. And in those days, because of the belief that man had in them, they had much more vitality, much more life, much more to do in the sense with man and his world. I wouldn't have you think they're necessarily evil. Indeed, they're not. They are, in many ways, mischievous. They can sometimes pull pranks. I know this all sounds, or will sound to some people, rather an odd conversation and hard to accept. Some were obviously pooed altogether.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't alter the fact that man is in a position to create not only his own kind, but also without his perhaps awareness or knowledge or realization, able to create in another sense. Now, for instance, show me as an illustration, which may not be acceptable to some people, but nevertheless it is true. A book is written, characters are created and drawn.
Yes.
Now, in some cases, you take, as an example, Dickens. For the last 100-odd years, his characters have been so sort of given life by man's thoughts. And, of course, the characters that Dickens created were such characters, were so much life, so much power, they became, by the very thought forces, not only of Dickens himself, when creating these characters, and in some instances they were indeed created in our world before they ever entered the mind of Dickens. But that is another aspect. I didn't want to be musician. Well, people think and read and are absorbed in characters that, in a sense, are fictitious. Nevertheless, the life force that is given to them by man, and by this I mean untold thousands of people reading about certain individual characters, they give them a kind of life in a mental sense, and in a kind of an astral way, they have a life force, they have a power, but it is within certain limits. They cannot go beyond or outside these experiences related to them or about them in the particular book. But in that form, in that way in which they have been written, they have a kind of life that is not only given to them by the author in the first instance, but they are supported with vitality, by thought force from millions of people who conjure up within their own mental selves these characters. And if you could but see it and realize it, since nature spirits over the centuries of time have been created by the thought force of man and in nature itself, and given the kind of life circumscribed, so it is with entities and the so-called fictional nature. I do wish it were possible for people to realize that the basis of all life is the power of thought which is creative. As a man thinks, so he is. So he will sow accordingly the seeds within himself and around and about him in his family and in his dealings with others. And so in a strange, though it may seem so, it is not perhaps strange enough, but to you, way he creates a form, that is, it is a reality, a form of life outside the normal way of life, the normal realization of things. Men may be ignorant of these things, but nevertheless they exist. When man thinks, so he will create accordingly. If man concentrates his thoughts in a certain way or direction towards even characters in a book, for instance, you take someone like Nell or Quilp or a grandfather. Untold millions of people over the last 100 years, the course of these three-plus realities, they've created in their own selves, their own interpretation, given them a form of existence, which is an illusion, this is true, in a sense. And yet it is not without some substance, because you must accept the fact that the power of thought is a reality that is created. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be put into a material form or to have life of a kind in circumscribed limits. The thing with some of these voices is that I've been recorded. Some of them are attempts, hints from this side, trying to make contact. Others are thought forces, full of vitality and life, in a kind of way which enable them to be picked up by a synthesized instrument. A lot of energy of vitality has been used and brought into being for they're into the moments of the future. Even if they contain, as we may well hope, an intelligent and intelligible conversation, an evidential matter that can be discussed between the so-called dead and the living, entities through mediums such as the one we are now using, then it will have great value. But until it can give evidential contacts, having, as it were, a two-way conversation between the so-called dead and the living, feeling survival and the personality of an individual long since perhaps dead as the world touches it, until this can be done, it will not have any great value. Where a medium is concerned, and we are able to make use of that power and vitality of the medium to hold conversation and have intelligent conversation, supplying proof and evidence of the reality of our being, the continuity of life. This is, of course, what really is matter. It is a great matter of importance. These other experiments are in their infancy. They hold great promise, but it would be a matter of sifting the chaff from the wheat. And they would raise many problems, of course, as indeed all forms of communication must and will, it's natural to speak. No doubt, more success will come, but until intelligent conversation comes between our world and yours, an evidential nature, between the so-called dead and the living, reaffirming and giving conviction to an evidential nature, there will be problems and queries and uncertainties, but it's a step in the right direction. Until we can find a way around this problem of using we should have been there many years yet to continue to use the agents of it for media. In any case, somewhere in the soul's sphere medium, I'm sure of that. Anyway, it's all interesting. Now I must go.
Oh, sorry, that's
Cook.
Yes.
Oh,
lovely.
Thank you so much. I have a good day. Thank you. Good work.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.